You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show.
Carol's in the house. Woo! Her book and the real thing. We got her. She's awesome. We didn't tell you, but you actually can't leave. We've lost her.
I don't really even know where I am.
She got out of her car. We're like, come on in. We're going to get you in. Hi, guys. I'm Ashley Daniels here for another recap of Real Housewives of New York City. I am with Carol, obviously.
Hi.
Carol as well tonight, as long as I'm also with.
Hey, guys. Stephanie McGraw here.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Wagner.
And Courtney Henderson.
And if you haven't already purchased the book, here it is. And we are going to... We don't have a ton of time tonight, so maybe we'll do a little of... We'll talk about whatever you want. We can we recap. So if you're interested in recapping
recap.
A little... We want to hear your recap, honey. We want to hear us. We want to hear you.
What's Carol's version of the events that went down tonight?
I mean, your blog definitely was very specific, and it was so funny. Anybody who hasn't read this week's blog especially, you got to go read it and bring a little drink. She did kind of like an Andy Cohen thing with every time.
Oh. I loved it.
I jacked his game.
I love it. Okay, so, I mean, obviously we have zillions of questions for you, but I have to ask you this. Number one question, if we're talking about tonight's episode, okay, what the heck happened to Sonia? Did she just, like, snap out of reality for, like, a couple hours?
I mean, I know she just completely drunk.
Well, we all have been drinking, you know, all day, and it was sunny, and, you know, you do get a little tipsy, but she was really drinking. Mm. And also, she didn't want to leave. And we all made a plan to go to the boxes where you can sit in the stands and watch some of the races from there. And then we were going to go. And we looked all over for her. She just took off. So then we thought, okay, she probably, you know, found some friends. And she,
Lou
was texting her. Kristen texted her. I mean, we're not in junior high, we're a grown up, so we figured she'd text us if she wanted to go home with us. And plus, we left a car for her, so it wasn't like we ditched her at all. I have no idea what happened to her.
Yeah, you just stayed out of that. You were like,
because I did drink a little bit myself. When I got home, I took a nap, so I was like out. And then
you got to skip all the drama.
Yeah, no, I heard some of the screaming, and I was like, oh shit. But she just had too much to drink and she just went nuts.
Yeah,
I mean bananas.
Yes, she really did. I mean, it's you'd think like with Ramona not being there, there's a chance that you would have a peaceful night.
Yeah.
But it's like Sonia almost took a little bit of Ramona with her and it did something.
Yeah, that whole like I'm going to the Hamptons thing.
Yeah.
That sealed the deal. Like, really? Yeah. You're going to just like cap it off with that?
Have we not seen that and done that before? Exactly.
Right.
10 weeks ago.
Like, think of your original exit.
I know.
I just thought that was odd. But we were all having a good time. We were like, bye.
Well,
you know, if she wanted to go, she could go. There were cars outside that would take
her
back. But
well, I think it had a little something to do with the fact that she didn't win, too. It was a little bit of a bittersweet. I mean, I think your grandpa Tony would be proud of you for your betting.
Oh, yeah. No, I took it pretty seriously. It was a maiden race, so there were no odds because all the horses, it was their first race. So it was a little harder to pick, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
So picking, we did do it a little by name, a little by intuition, a little by, you know, whatever information had on the racing form. And I was always told, like, I wanted to win big but be conservative. So I thought, like, if we hit the trifecta, that's like freaking amazing. Right. Yeah. And right. then, but I said, let's just box it because it's just fun to win. So like, if we don't get them in exact order, we still win and it's right. still fun. And so that's what we did. I have no idea what the hell Sonia was doing or why she didn't want to bet with us. And we ended up betting $50 each, but I wanted to, because I knew we were only going to bet one race. So I wanted to bet $200 because that's all I had. So I thought, let's just all bet all our money. $200, like win, lose, or yeah, on this one race. And then Sonia kind of was like betting $2. So I think we kind of felt guilty. We're like, okay, let's just bet $50.
Yeah. And then, hey, big spender, right?
And,
yeah.
then we won. I mean, it was
What'd you spend yours
fun.
On? The winnings on?
Well, we went out that night, so I'm sure some of you totally spent on booze. But, you know, it was really fun. I mean, I don't know if she was. You know, she had a lot to drink. So I don't know if she was like a spoiled sport or she kind of took the losing kind of in stride. It was just it was just that she wanted to stay at the paddocks. You know,
She was working her contacts, as she mentioned, that she needed.
Oh, is that
time.
Sometimes I don't understand what she's saying. Yeah.
Whatever working her contacts means.
I don't know, but some of her contacts showed up later that night.
Yeah, right.
So she
she did a good job then?
Yeah. We'll never know.
I think next week you'll see. Oh.
How long are you in Beverly Hills till?
I'm here until Sunday.
Okay, so you just go back and forth.
I go back and forth. Yeah. I have a house in Beverly Hills.
I know, that's awesome. So you just get to relax in the weather and go back.
I get to relax, and I hang with my puppy, Margaret. Hello. And I have a lot of friends out here, and it's kind of quieter for me to work, and I have meetings about Widow's Guide.
Yes, right.
That was optioned by Universal.
I was going to say, because
so
of
cool.
the movie deal?
Yeah.
Mm. Or the TV show, that's right, TV show.
Yeah, so cool.
TV. Fingers crossed.
I know, that's really cool. I've been around the block a little bit in Hollywood, and it's, it's so hard to get the right team together and the timing and stuff, so I don't really even want to talk about it because I feel like I'm a little superstitious.
That's totally next subject.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But coming from last episode, Carol, we're intrigued to know, do you have a new assistant?
I hired the Cage in long blonde
BBC
hair.
BBC girl.
Oh, you did.
BBC girl, yeah.
Okay, because one of our Twitter, somebody on Twitter, her name is PrimaDonna001, calling you out. You have a question you wanted to know from Carol. Why did you interview for an assistant if you already have Eric?
You know, that was made much of on the show. Eric is a friend. Eric is, I met him on the street at a bar late night in New York. but he's my very good friend from high school is his son, her son's friend.
Okay.
So when he moved to New York, I kind of took him under my wing, and I he doesn't really work for me. I say he's the vice president of my social media empire. It's kind of tongue in cheek, and I think some of the tongue in cheekiness was lost on the show because they chironed him senior vice president.
Yes, they did. They did.
Vice president.
I know.
He doesn't. I don't pay him. He's a really good kid, and he's just moved to New York, and I'm just kind of watching out for him a little. And he does. He does little campaigns for Widow's Guide on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, the Where's Claire? Hashtag Where's Claire?
Yeah. Yes.
He does that and comes
And
up
he facilitated, he coordinated this. He really helped big time with this.
Yeah.
He
called me when I was lost.
Yeah, I told him, like, could you see if she's okay for me?
I couldn't answer because I'm a terrible driver. So I couldn't answer and drive. And
well, you're in the perfect place because everybody around you sucks at driving in LA. Yeah, so welcome. So did you want to ask more about tonight's episode since we...
Yeah.
Well, before we go into the episode, I want to ask if in the remodel, in the zhuzhing, where did the office end up? Did it end up in the kitchen do you still have a kitchen?
No, it ended up in the kitchen. I had to keep the stove because by law you have gas lines coming into your apartment.
You have to keep
the stove. But I don't use it, so it just sits there like it's fine.
That's fine.
I make tea sometimes.
Did you want takeout?
Yeah. I don't think a lot of single girls in the city really cook for themselves.
Yeah,
it's hard when you come over to Beverly Hills. Do you, because you have the house and stuff like that?
Yeah, you know what, the thing that I love when I come here, the first thing I do is go to Bristol Farms on Beverly.
That's where I live, right there.
And Doheny?
I live on Doheny and 3rd, right next to Bristol Farms. That's where I go like every day.
And so I go there as my first stop, and I buy groceries and all this food that ends up getting spoiled because But I like getting up in the morning and making coffee. For some reason, in LA, I like doing it. In New York, I just can't. I don't. Just
go out.
I mean, I have a coffee maker in New York. And, but like, I just get up and go out. Here, I like to nest, and you know, Margaret and I hang out in the morning. I read the paper. She watches TV.
It makes sense because I feel like LA, as busy of a town as it is, and as much as there's a hustle, it's still not New York pace.
Nothing
is New York pace.
There's something about New York, it just like the energy just pulls you out of your apartment, you know. So like you just wander sometimes, you know, in sweats or a half pajamas to the corner, get a cup of coffee, and get the paper, and come back. I try to make coffee at home in New York, but I even bought one of those. What is it? An espresso machine?
Yeah. Oh, nice.
I know. Fancy. And I did it good? Like, I did it for a couple of weeks. I was like, I'm going to do it every day. And then the crappy Korean coffee. The Korean deli.
But that's the whole thing you can do in New York. In LA, you don't pop around to your local because it's too far. Everything is so spread out here. Yeah. You just, it's not the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
But I do love the office. And I end up spending so much. I didn't think even when it was an office I would spend much time there. But I end up spending sometimes all day in my office, in my kitchen office.
Yeah.
It's good. It's great. I should have done it 10 years ago when I moved there. I felt like, you know, pressure to have a kitchen.
You always have a kitchen. Like,
it's a coffice.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes.
Would you ever consider screenwriting, doing something like that? Because I know you said that you loved the editing process.
Yeah.
So what about screenwriting either?
Because Widow's Guide was optioned, there was talk of that. And I feel like as much as I love to write, it's a very different craft. Even writing memoir and writing fiction, it was different. I mean, not quite as different as writing a screenplay, but I've never written one. So I feel like for that, at least, for Widow's Guide, for television, I want to try to get, like, the best, hottest showrunner writer for TV. I don't have, like, a big ego about, like, I've got to write everything. I just want the best.
Yeah,
you know?
Great.
I've been recently asked to write a play in New York. So I might, for some reason, the idea of a play seems more interesting to me and more doable than to write for television.
That's fabulous. So, that's such an honor.
So I'm going to spend the summer working on that play and spend the summer hiring a writer to write.
That's amazing.
Oh, gosh.
Obviously, we already know how you feel. I mean, I'm sure George is not somebody that you would think of in a positive light. But is any of that fake at all? I mean, is he really like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
We do too, but it's just crazy to think that Aviva would allow him to come on like that and you know, just portray himself.
I felt like when I first met him, it was like a little bit, we've all experienced this like old man, like trying to be provocative and it was sort of charming and funny.
It's funny, right.
Mm. But I mean, I didn't see him, let me just think, except for that engagement party, I didn't spend any time with him. So I didn't know I see the show like all you guys see it, you know, all the scenes that I'm not in. And I was just gross.
It is really gross. It really is.
It's not even, it's very uncomfortable to watch. So I'm hoping that that's just an act for the show. Aviva does seem to be a little bit more contrived than the rest of us. Like, I don't know.
Oh,
I
definitely,
feel like
everything
she does is a little bit of, like, showmanship, which I think the audience can see.
Yes.
So I don't know. I think that George, the things he says, and especially what he said to Ramona in this episode was just beyond the pale.
It really was. We're all like... We'll say anything, but that just went to another level. We were just like, what?
I mean, and Ramona is no stranger to saying weird, stupid shit.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't think the
she's met her match.
Deserves the, you know.
Right. Yes.
What she said didn't deserve what
your
he
dog
said
or whatever.
To her.
But so, what was your take? The fact that after they were discussing with Ramona, you know, don't mention the fact she doesn't have parents to Cody, and then what does she do?
Yeah.
Was that. What was your perception? Or were you just sort of like, oh, I'm so used to that. Ramona would do that.
I think it was Ramona being Ramona. I think she jacks it up a little for the show. Mm-hmm. But I just think she, honestly, because I was there when Sonia was talking about the parents having passed away. And I honestly wasn't quite understanding why Sonia was saying that. And also I feel like, and I really can't talk for Ramona, but she says this in the show, that she wasn't really listening to Sonia either, so she didn't quite get that we weren't supposed to mention it at all, okay. Even to say, oh, you know, I hear your parents recently passed. Mm. So I think it was a little bit of miscommunication and just, you know, and Ramona, I mean, I don't think any one of us needs to be reminded not to talk about, you know, the dead parents. So it's just like,
yeah, and the first time you meet somebody, rude. That's not what you bring up.
No, right. it just seems rude to me. But it does. But she said it. But I definitely don't think the crime fit the punishment.
No, for sure.
I was like, yeah. That doesn't make sense. What he's saying now and doing.
No, absolutely not.
I think Sonia was right. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I mean, I saw that and I thought, wow, that reaction is so over the top for what was said that reminded me of someone.
Possibly think of who. So you say that, you know, it kind of looks like maybe some of these other girls put somewhat of an act or a little bit of a show. Do you really truly forget that the cameras are there? You know, to where it's just easy to kind of be
you're
yourself.
You're way too aware of your surroundings. I feel like
I don't forget. I don't forget that they're there, but I might forget that they're there, but I'm not really comfortable around them, so it doesn't allow you to really forget. In fact, the presence of the cameras is, you know, it's with anything. I used to say this when I was working in news, the presence of the cameras changes what you're really seeing, because as soon as you bring in a camera, people do act slightly different. And they say different things. And as much as the producers try to get us, you know, drunk most of the time, you are aware of the cameras. And for some people, I'm a little more introverted, so I kind of hold, I step back a little. And for others who aren't that way, they ratchet it up. I'm not saying that. I think Andy, when he says the housewives are just like they are off camera, on camera, he's... It's true. I think that they pretty much, for the most part, are.
They have been. Agreed. Everyone I've met has been, absolutely.
Yeah, like even like the crazy ones on camera are like, whoa.
The fact in particular, you were friends with Andy. I mean, who was he not the one that actually approached you to be on the Housewives in the first place?
Yeah, he did. But, you know, it's funny. A lot's been made of that. Andy and I probably have had two conversations about Housewives. Like, even since I'm on the show, we rarely talk about it when we're together in a group of friends. I was aware that I didn't even know he was this, you know, when a couple of years ago, that he had this big franchise and that he was
that's
had
amazing
this talk show. Because he doesn't talk about it with his friends, you know, when he's after dinner and stuff. So
he's got some cool friends. I want to hang out with him and you and Sarah Jessica Parker.
He does.
Bethany,
well, he's
any
coming
day.
Out with, he's coming, next fall, he's coming out with a book called The Andy Cohen Diaries. And it's like the Andy Warhol Diaries.
Gosh.
And it's 1 year in his life. And it's like, it's like a diary. And I haven't read any of it yet, but his publisher is my publisher. And I hear it is really, really good.
Does he have a ghostwriter?
No. Not.
Is his ghostwriter your ghostwriter?
Yeah. No, so Andy's crazy. My ghostwriter.
speaking of diaries a little bit, did you have a second date with, what was his name?
Nick?
You are so funny on a
date.
Oh my gosh.
We
were in tears
episode.
Cracking up laughing. I mean, that was the funniest
thing. Hasn't really had a date like that?
Oh my gosh. We all have.
The thing about it, we didn't have a second date. It is, you know, kind of, I don't think I talked that much under the date, but like to date on television, it's really awkward.
It's a hard thing.
And he was a little quiet. And, you know, you can't be, and even though I'm quiet when the six of us are together, I'm the talker in my group, so I can talk, you know, so he was quiet, so I was filling in. I felt like I was really on a date with Lou. Like,
we were like, yeah. It's awesome, though. Like, we were all trying to figure out, like, because we can't figure, like, we were like, what would be the perfect guy? This was a couple weeks ago, we were all trying to figure out the perfect guy for you.
Oh.
We all had different ideas, but we were like, we said businessman, he has to have his own money.
Professional athletes.
No, we, do we say,
these are things that came up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the, could be a
we
good
really
option.
Couldn't figure it out, though. I, we were like, someone who's not intimidated by you, because they have to have, like, their own money in their own life. They can't, because obviously you're...
I mean, I think just, like, a fun guy with a fun life and a little cash to bank girl. You know, if you pay some bills, that's good, too. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't... There's much made on the show about me not dating businessmen. I mean, most of the men that I've dated are creative kind of guys.
Musicians.
Yeah, that's what we were saying.
And even my husband was a journalist.
Yeah.
And so it's just a different language, I think. And but I would like to date a businessman. I mean, I think...
you're open.
I've been checking out Tinder.
Oh, God. We should all go down to Lisa Vanderpump's new place. I mean, it's basically gay men. But, like, at least we can, like, just go, like, there. Maybe there'd be some straight guys in that area now. Maybe?
No. I don't think they're straight.
Gay men always have really...
I heard the bartenders are straight, though.
No, because every gay man has a really good friend that's, like, a straight man that's, like, that, like...
That he wants to date, but he can't because he's straight.
Yeah, like, but he tries to find, like, a good girl for. I don't know.
We're on the prowl.
ChristianBangles.com. I don't know. We'll figure something out.
I've never done internet dating, but I did join Tinder. Mm. But I just a swipe.
Do you ever talk to people?
No, I mean, sometimes. Like,
oh, my God.
Hey, what are you doing?
It's amazing. If they knew, though, they would be so starstruck.
Some of them knew. Yeah.
Oh, they did.
Some of them knew. My photo is me, so... but my name is Claire, like the Widow's Guide, heroine, the Widow's Guide. It's Claire, so... it's funny because they're straight guys, but a couple of them are like, "Are you the girl on that show?"
And you're like, "That's awesome." Yeah. You're like, "Yeah, I am. That is me."
Yeah.
Well, it's 8:31, so I know you have to go. We love you, and we hope you can come back with Heather at some point too, because she's amazing, and you're amazing,
and the two of you have shown a genuine, honest friendship.
Oh yeah, yeah. No,
Heather
and I are
spinoff.
We put the real in Real Housewives.
That's the show I want to watch.
Spinoff. Like Lucy and Lucy is really no Ethel in that. But.
I know. Someone said Lucy and Ethel, and I'm thinking, who's
Ethel?
Yeah. I'm probably Ethel.
Neither of you.
No, there's no Ethel.
No, she's great. And Kristen is a new addition, and she's mm-hmm.
Yeah,
great.
You guys got
we love her. We talked to her, too. She's amazing. Yeah, she's amazing.
She's great, and she's real, and she brings... you know, her marriage on camera in a real way. And they don't bicker as much as it seems like.
Right.
Good.
You were saying that on Watch What Happens Live last week, that they just have the balls to put their relationship out there. Like, they fight like everybody else does.
Yeah. It's just like, you don't help enough with the kids. You don't understand my pressures at work. I mean, what married couple hasn't had
every relationship talks about that stuff.
Yeah, no, I think she's great. I think it's a great season and a good cast.
It really
definitely.
Is.
Definitely.
We're starting to gel.
Yeah, no, definitely. We love it. We're just, we really do that. We get excited to watch it each week. And, you know, we cover a lot of The Real Housewives.
Yeah.
And so some of the seasons go down, some of the seasons go up. This one went up.
This one went up.
Yeah. Definitely.
Love
it. Well, and it's
definitely
so fun. I mean, having met Heather, who's such a businesswoman, and you, you know, businesswoman, writer, you know, career woman, it's one of those things where I feel like you guys in New York kind of give a good name to the franchise because you're not just housewives. Like some of the other cities have.
You're working.
I think in New York, even if New York is a working town,
totally.
So even if you've got some money and you got a husband, like all the women are really involved in a career or in good works, and so I think it's great. I think it better reflects New York City than maybe previous.
Definitely,
absolutely,
no, definitely.
Oh yeah,
love the season, love
great.
The city.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me.
Well, okay, so Stephen will help. Facilitate.
Hey guys, Maria Menounos here, and I want to share my newest book, The Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness, with you. Basically, every woman always stops me and asks me how I lost 40 pounds. So I decided to put it all in one book. Everything I did to lose 40 pounds step by step, and how you can too, is in here. I did it with no time, no money, and no willpower, and now I'm going to show you how to do it too. You can pre-order it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, wherever books are sold, and it's out June 3rd. So I hope you guys love it. I hope it helps you in your weight loss journey. And please, please tweet me and update me on your progress at Maria Menounos. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
I know.
Oh
that
my
was
gosh,
so,
I
so
love
much
her.
Fun. I know. She's so sweet. I mean, honestly.
I just want to show this because we just did the clip.
Oh, yes.
So this is the
of
book.
Of course.
Maria's Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness. It actually dropped today. It's in stores. You can order it on Amazon.
Okay.
She's doing book signings all over the country right now. So go to everygirl.com, look up where she's going to be. So if you're in the city, you can pick up the book and go get it signed and meet her. And it's a really great book. I've kind of been peeking through it here in the studio. And
all my Boston
lots
girls.
Of good stuff.
Boston girls, June 14th. She'll be there for the fitness
yes.
expo.
And guess what better time? It's coming into summer. We are now. Yeah. Let's
yeah,
get fit for it.
Double check on that, but I think it's June 14th because my mom and my aunts are really excited. But yes, and if you want rock solid abs like that, I mean, read the book.
Seriously. Because she eats
she
what she
eats.
Wants.
I
she
know.
Eats.
She's got the best body. It's like, some
right?
people just, I mean,
some
literally.
Of it's genetics, but a lot of it's in the book, and she talks about that.
Yeah.
So now that that's
right,
out of the
anyway,
way, let's talk
anyway.
About Carol.
I loved her hair, first of all. How amazing
loved
did her hair
blonde.
Look blonde like
mm-hmm.
that?
Loved
so
it.
Good. She
holy
said she was, she's a blonde, actually, that only in the past few years she's gone dark, and so she feels like everyone's saying, you know,
yeah.
what do you mean I'm blonde? I'm a blonde.
Again, I think another housewife we've all been fortunate to meet that is just as real as what we see on camera as what in person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Heather, the two of them. Yep.
Totally.
You do
totally.
See what you get. Great, genuine women.
So now that we have, recapped somewhat
a little bit.
I mean, we had to give her time just to hang out with her, obviously. But, okay, so let's go to... What did you guys think of the part where we found out that Cody actually runs her like a nail salon where she actually makes a lot of money?
It's a chain of nail salons.
Yeah.
Apparently
yeah.
she has one here. We just found out right before we started filming.
Yes, and we might be having her on.
Hopefully we're going to try.
So we're going to
get
her on.
But I was really impressed, surprised and impressed because I think that that absolutely speaks to what she's saying and kind of it's a little bit of like putting your money where your mouth is because she doesn't need his money.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, it would be nice, but she's got her own, so there's not this obvious, well, the only thing she wants is money.
Right. I mean, I think it's just hard for people to swallow. I know even Carol mentioned it in her blog, and I know Ramona was pondering it. I don't know why I always use the word pondering with Ramona. I think it's just because I'm always trying to figure her out. But really, yeah. it makes you wonder, why are you with him? And she says for the sex and for his intelligence.
Intellectual stimulation, yeah.
But if I'm going to be completely objective, I'll say like, okay, I can kind of understand that, but he's gross. The things he says are so vile and so disgusting, and she seems very classy. She seems like she works hard.
Yes. A lot more than I would have thought.
25 years old, and she's like working and making a lot of money. To have a chain of nail salons is one, I mean, having one of them's even a successful, you know, venture, but to do that,
yeah.
mm-hmm. it just makes me wonder, it's almost like those girls that like the bad boys. I mean, this is like mm-hmm. bad boy that's old, but like still, it makes you wonder if she's trying to change him maybe or...
You know, she said that she hasn't met anyone in her age that's kind of been like that. And I can agree with that. Sometimes mm-hmm. you need to go a little bit older or something, but I feel like at 25, you could find 40 that would be a little bit more... you know, be intelligent, you know,
understandable.
Great sex, and have all those things that she's looking for in George without the nastiness
that he brings. Very pretty and smart.
That's
and she's sweet. I just don't get it.
I thought even some of his antics, I know we talk about that with the other women, were kind of like now that he's at the engagement party, you would have thought out of all places, and I think as Carol was even saying, he's putting it on for camera, goes and like swipes Kristen's breast or whatever.
Yeah, felt her up.
The one thing
I will say, I don't want to call it in his defense, but at least he doesn't act differently, like, behind her back than he is, you know, in front of her. Like, he's just this gross perv all the time, you know, so it's like she does know what she's getting.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not putting on a different show for her than what we're seeing.
Right.
I mean, unless it's... Or he's at least willing to kind of put this side of him out there also.
Do you think it's for the show? Do you think it's for her to be on the show? I'm going to give every point. I'm just thinking maybe it's because she knows she could be on the show, and so she's hanging out with him, and he's like, I'm on The Real Housewives. I mean, most girls that are 25 would be excited to be on The Real Housewives.
It helps build her brand.
Yeah. I mean, now we know who she is. We want her on our show. I mean, not to say, like, we're Barbara Walters over here, but I'm saying, like, you know, like, we would like to have her on here, and we want to talk to her, and we didn't know who she was 10 minutes ago. I mean, we didn't know before last week's episode who she was. So it is a smart idea. If you can get yourself on reality TV and you have a business that you want to grow, will help.
Yep. Huge. Yep.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, call me naive. I mean, I really think that there is more to it than that. And I think because perhaps we're not interested in somebody that age, or we've not met somebody that age that we've connected with in that way, that it's hard to understand that somebody else could.
Right. Mm.
You know, because how many times have you had a friend and you're just like, I don't get it. I don't get what you see in her. I don't get what you see in him. Yeah. And it's just sort of a different version of that, right. I think, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand. I don't get it, but I understand that there's that part that I'll just never understand, basically, and I have to just let it go.
And this is one of those things that I feel like is harder because it's such an age difference, and because we see his antics and we see the way that he behaves, and it's just like, well, who would ever want to go there?
But after all the housewives they say that other side of Cody, and they're quite pleased by it, and they're, it seems to be they're accepting, so that's all positive.
He doesn't want her to have kids till she's 35, which is kind of weird too. Like, why would he not want her to have kids?
And he says even if he's not around, he still wants her to have kids then.
His kids?
Yeah,
or kids? Because that's
his
what
kids.
I don't...
Kids. He wants freezing her eggs. Mm. And
which I thought, but, I mean, that's unreal. Like, she can't have his kids when she's 35. She needs to have somebody else's kids who she falls in love with after.
I agree with Carol, though, on the aspect that, you know, when he's having that conversation with Aviva and Ramona, that the crime did not finish the punishment. Yes, what Ramona did was wrong, and by, you know, bringing up her parents' death at the engagement party was totally wrong and typical of Ramona to do. Mm. I don't think we were surprised by that behavior.
Yeah.
But what he was saying about her after she left and then in front of Aviva when they were meeting for, I don't know what reason they were meeting, but...
Well, Ramona just came to apologize to Aviva for having upset Cody. Mm. And then he came in.
And then, I mean, if that... I don't know.
Although, admittedly, Ramona's, it wasn't just ever apology, was it, girls?
No, like, no.
She said, here's the flowers again. But, and then, you know, hits a little bit deeper, you know, I just think of my own daughter and, you know, having old men preying on her like this, and was just really, it was a backhanded, you know, I'm sorry.
I get what Ramona's saying. I don't think Aviva was the person to be talking to about it. I mean, because I could see, you know, having an 18-year-old daughter and then meeting somebody that's only 5 years older who's dating a guy 58 years older. I mean, I get where Ramona's coming from. Like, the last thing you want is your daughter to graduate from college and marry a guy or fall in love with a guy who's could be your own dad, you know, as a parent.
Right. Grandparent?
Yeah, but wasn't necessary to say it at the time of the apology.
No, agreed. No, just, that no. She didn't need to say that to Aviva at all.
Mm. Yeah. But I just feel like the whole relationship is kind of, what she said, it was it's like a total eclipse of the sun. Is that what Carol said? You want to look at it, we'll burn your eyes.
Yeah.
But we do keep looking at it. I mean, at the end of the day, it still brings us drama. And I think the producers really like having him on because he stirs so much and he just really stirs the pot. Because we have a bunch of the majority of this cast is normal. Minus a couple of them, but I mean, like, Carol's super normal. Heather's really normal.
Kristen Luann.
Luann is really has turned. I mean, she was always normal, but like, she's not as she used to be. So
her antics and
she used to be very like she came off very pompous in a lot of the episodes in the previous seasons. Where darling, that's all gone. She's totally like a girl's girl, fun, and so the majority of them are. So I think that they know. Yes, we love having these people on and. No, they don't produce a ton of drama, but they're real girls, and that's what we want to, like Courtney said, this is really showing and portraying what New York women are like.
Yeah.
But in that sense, now where are we going to get the drama? I mean, you can only get so much from Sonia and Ramona. You have to bring these people in, these crazy, and Aviva, of course.
George, yeah.
And the fans love commenting about him, so.
Yeah, yes. They do.
And giving
their
perspective on it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. We have a lot of very opinionated.
When it came to George,
Very much so. Mm-hmm. I don't blame them though. Okay, so going into, what did you guys want to go on to next? Because since we haven't really gone in order, if you guys, we'll do majority rule. What do you guys want to talk about next?
I mean, there is the Rices.
The picnic. Just because it leads into, you know, because, so, you know, they go to the picnic and it was a fancy picnic.
It's the fanciest picnic I've ever seen. Bottle of rosé.
Well, you know. They somehow managed to carry jelly that all when they were riding. I mean, you know.
And their little baskets. Yeah, I feel like that was probably, there was a little help, probably.
and stuff.
Tour de France, and there's the sag wagon carrying all the stuff behind.
Exactly.
I think Sonia felt it was the Tour de France. She's like, oh, God, I've got to get a stationary bike. I'm not doing that.
I love that. And I love how Sonia can kind of, like, poke fun at herself when she said, she's like, you know, I'm going to get on the stationary bike. Where I can't fall, or, you know, where you can't fall off, she goes, well, where I can, you know, but no one else can fall off.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, Sonia.
I love Sonia.
But, I mean, I just, I think that it was nice of them to get back together. And I love the way that Luann kind of approached her about Ramona and their relationship. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't in any way attacking. She was just sort of trying to be insightful about, okay, we see the way this woman acts. We see the way this woman treats you. Mm-hmm. And yet you value that relationship kind of far and above all the others. So what's the deal? You know, why are you choosing that friendship that seems a little bit toxic because of the way Ramona acts? Why do you treasure that so much more than mine, you know, Luann saying that, right, or perhaps any of the other girls?
Why do you think she does?
And as she said, you know, it's more labor-intensive. Right? Well, friendship shouldn't be that labor-intensive. No. They shouldn't be.
Not all the time. I mean, you're going to have your ebbs and flows where your friends need you, but... But agreed,
you get sick of it. There are certain friends that after a while you realize at the end of the night they haven't brought you anything good in your life. It's all negative.
Well, and even Ramona brought up, she said at the engagement party, she said something about, like, she's like, sometimes I just tune Sonia out.
Yeah, let's get into that engagement party, because seriously, what? Yes, that's crazy. First of all, I just think that, but I think that Ramona, you either have to, if you're going to be friends with Ramona, you're going to have to be a very special person. You have to be able to handle that not everything that comes out of her
high
mouth
tolerance.
Is, yeah, you have to have a very high tolerance. Mm. And if you can have that, a lot of patience and a very high tolerance and just see the good in her, then you'll be fine. But, and I think Sonia is just so, she has so much going on in her life that she brushes off a lot of the things that a lot of other people wouldn't be able to. Because in the light of things, it's like, oh, well, you know what? I have this going on and this going on, so she's loyal to me, and I'll take that.
Mm-hmm. You know? But to be honest, I thought that was a nice moment when she was talking about that. And then she did a 180 for me, because later on that night, when she did get drunk, Sonia.
Okay.
And I was like, you're acting exactly like... There's only so much time when you spend so much time with a person, and they do those similarities we're saying all of Romana's antics. She's pretty much mirrored that. She went and did exactly
at the end
that.
Of the episode, so I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah, you know what, Sonia? Maybe you have been spending a little bit too much time with the labor intensive friend that you have, because she's now wearing off on you and you're doing some of the stuff that you probably perhaps never
wouldn't
thought
agree
you
with.
Would agree.
That you got mad at Ramona for doing to you, and now you're doing the same things to your other friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's sad because sometimes with alcohol, you can't control yourself. And so I think she's probably looking at that episode and regretting what she did, because she just went off. But I think it had something to do with the fact that she, you know, she didn't win. And, she just went on and on about how she used to bet since she was 17. And, you know, it's like you're speaking, you're building yourself up, and then all of a sudden you're the one who loses. It's just like, because if she won, she would have won with a bang. It's like, well, I told you guys since I was 17, and, you know, you should have listened to me. Because the only one that didn't do what everybody else did, if she won, it would have been amazing. It's a huge risk. That's betting. Don't bet unless you have a,
You can afford to lose the money.
Yeah, exactly. Betting's not an easy thing.
That I liked about her, actually, in the sense that she was betting the $2 bets, and I don't know how much she ended up spending, you know, in the end, obviously, but, you know, for me, knowing where she's coming from financially, the little bit that we know, it's one of those where it would have been really hard for me to watch her go drop 50 or 100 or, you know, a couple hundred bucks on betting horse races, because it's like, you know, you've got some other things that you should be spending this money on. You've talked about it in previous episodes about, you know, the bargain deals and the different things that you're doing with your clothes and costumes and things, so this should be no different, and I felt like it wasn't. You know, I felt like she was like...
She stayed true to form.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so that I liked about it. But the reaction to the losing after the bets...
Yeah.
Was
well, she didn't help herself, as we said. She kept on building it up from the very start. Like, it was Miss Know-It-All. Like, Luann, all the women were like, okay, Sonia, we get right. the point. This is your genre. You are the horse racing queen. Go for it.
And meanwhile, Carol's been betting since she could. She said she used to bet since she was on her. She would be on her tippy toes at the little window, like with her grandfather. Like, she grew up around betting her whole life.
And but was Carol going on about?
No, that? She didn't no. need to speak. But she put it in her blog, but yeah, she needed to speak
she
about
didn't
it.
Say anything there?
She's because she's not gonna. She's you know the tit for tat. She's not gonna like try to one up you all the time.
Yeah,
that's just not her nature. And so I think she also knows like it makes Sonia feel good about herself. Like, Carol's not the type to be like, well, I'm. You know, I'm going to take that 5 seconds of happiness away and tell you that I did it since I was two. Like, she's just not going to do that.
No.
So, and it's cute, though. It's sweet that Sonia actually, you know, she brought up some good memories from her past and she was reminiscing. And it seemed like it was, you know, it was a good time in her life when she was doing that. It was fun for her. Mm. So, I think some people are just sore losers. I don't want to lose. No one wants to lose.
Yeah, no one wants to lose. I don't think also drinking hard liquor at 10 o'clock in the morning really helped.
Yeah, in the sun. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably yeah, I didn't even think about that in the sun being out
just
and
doesn't. Yeah,
I was surprised going back to the engagement party or the party with when she told her when she was speaking when Ramona made Cody cry.
I was the Museum of Sex. Yeah.
Yes, I was surprised that knowing that she doesn't really have a lot of people on her team at this point. You know, she kind of had Aviva a little bit. Like, Aviva was kind of on the fence because Aviva wasn't there for that, the huge fight and everything. Mm-hmm. So I was just kind of shocked that she would not try to, I don't know, why she would go that way with Cody. Why she would even do something like that and speak to her the way she did. Because I felt like it was kind of, like, she was kind of slapping Aviva in the face, in a sense. Mm. Because this is, like, Aviva's family now. And I was surprised that she was willing to cross another boundary with another person. One that really she doesn't have too much of an issue with at this moment. I mean, I guess out of everybody other than Sonia, who's the next person that, at that, before she said that to Cody, was on her team? Was it Aviva? I mean, there's nobody really... Yeah, Aviva, right?
You have to probably. Say. And the fact that she took that one step further, though, when she went to apologize but didn't really apologize.
Right.
And started saying all that stuff about her own dad.
Right.
In her own house.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's just I just don't think that thinks about... Because then she walked out again. Yeah. And they're like, oh, she did the Hamptons thing. But I was surprised because I just thought to myself, like, why... Because Ramona's smart. Why wouldn't she think, let me keep this friend that's kind of still my friend. Like, I don't have many left.
Yeah,
like,
we just made up.
Yeah.
And we're just now sort of kind of being amicable and doing these kinds of things together. So, yeah, I don't know why she would risk that.
And then she walked right out. I mean, she stormed right out. She was
Hearing something like that, you would, I mean, I wouldn't want to really sit there and...
Well, wouldn't you want to defend? I mean, I'm just saying she just has a tendency to walk out of situations. Mm. Not to say that's a good thing to stay in, but I'm just saying, like, she... could have tried to fix it a little more, I think.
I think if she had approached it differently when she first went in, it wouldn't have gotten to that point.
Well, yeah, that would have been in a perfect world.
The way she approached it. But when it gets to that point, when someone takes it to that level the way George did, there's literally no reasoning with crazy. You cannot.
Yeah.
It's impossible, and that's why Kristen was so upset a few weeks ago, because you can't reason with crazy.
Yeah.
You cannot get to the root of an issue when somebody's just... not even worried about somebody else.
But do you think all of what we're seeing right now is the sort of the tail end of what's really happening outside of all this with Mario, the crunch, that she's these weird... exactly that.
So, I don't think so. I mean,
it's like she's got nothing to lose. She's just throwing everything. She's like, I don't care anymore.
At the engagement party, when she went to leave, which I think of all the times that she's left, this is one of the ones that it was right to leave. It was not her event. You know, she'd offended the... person whose night it was.
Engagement
party. You know, like, of anything that she's ever been at and she's fled because of drama, this was the one to leave and just say, just to back up. And I think she was right to go back later and try to apologize. I don't think the apologies necessarily should have been to Aviva. Mm. I think maybe to Cody.
Yes.
You know, or to both of them, kind of a thing. But... oh, I just lost my train of thought. What was I going to say about Ramona?
I think that she's just cutting off all her ties. Like, she really just doesn't.
But the Mario, she was like, come on, Mario. Like, you know, we gotta go. And so I don't think this had to do with what's going on between them.
Right. I think she does know in the back of her mind that her marriage is unraveling. And when that's like the most sacred relationship in your life and it's not doing too well, maybe like you say, you just don't care as much about the other relationships. I mean, we don't know for sure that this was happening at that time. We assume it was. But regardless, she had just burned bridges with people that, you know, she's trying to make amends with. And I just feel like it's just backtracking again. And I don't, I hope it's not for the show. I hope it's, because that would just mean that you're willing to, you know, put your integrity and your character on the line just to be dramatic for an episode. And she's already like the most famous housewife other than like Lisa and Vicky. She is one of the top five original Big Housewives. She doesn't need to do these stupid little things anymore to stay relevant. She's Ramona. She has it. She's in. She's not going anywhere. Mm. You know?
So I think it's part of just who she is. I mean, I'm sure we've all met those people that they're just sort of the laborious friend or the laborious person that you just, they just take more time and more energy to handle and to be around. And it's just the way that they are, whether it's by choice, whether it's because of things from their past. You know, I can't speak on why people are the way that they are, and Ramona specifically, yeah, you know, why she acts this way. But I definitely think that if it's amped up for screen, that might be because we've now heard from two of the cast members that they think that there is a little bit of kind of a show added. But that's, you know, we know these people in real life. People act like this in real life. We're watching it, you know. It's not like Ramona got a script and they said, you know, say these things, do right, these things. Right. So, you know, even if it's amped up, like on some level, the root of what she's doing is who she is. Mm.
Right.
You know.
Well, I don't know. It's hard to see. It's hard to watch that. It's hard to watch her do things like that because you because we all really do try to find the best. We don't watch these shows to hate these. At least we don't. No. We don't. We do not watch these shows to hate any of the people. Mm-hmm. We watch it to enjoy watching it. Our favorite people right now are the ones that don't fight. So that just goes to tell you something. So with Ramona, we have been trying to figure out for a while and why, what goes through her mind. And you know, I don't think she's ever been like this in the past. And we've said that. And the only thing that's different is that there's maybe a slight chance with Mario. Right.
Yeah.
So,
predictions then.
Let's do it.
Predictions. We're not going to talk about Kristen talking to Sonia.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Okay. I want to talk about that only because I felt like the preview last week made that look a lot more worse. Intense. Mm-hmm. It looked like it was between Sonia and Kristen. Mm-hmm. And it was between Sonia and Sonia, it was like Sonia was her own worst enemy in that moment and in that whole bickering and, you know, the dramatics of...
Well, she stumbles in drinking and Heather and Luann are just trying to enjoy the time and say, all right, where's Sonia? Let's find Sonia. Sonia shows up. Heather goes to talk to her and says, come on, get ready. Let's go down. We didn't abandon you, trying to not make a big deal about it. And she's freaking out. And I'm proud of Kristen for actually saying, okay, you step out, enjoy your time, because Heather seems to be the one that always ends up getting yelled at or something. Yeah. So she jumps in to help her, and Sonia just goes after her, and Kristen's like, okay, I can't even do this with you.
Right.
I can't.
Right.
At least Kristen realized it was somewhat out of her being drunk. Yeah. Right. Out of Sonia's being drunk. Yep. And, you know, she didn't take it personally. She was just trying to help, thought maybe the fact that they have no history would maybe help, that they've only been friendly, and it just was sort of a lost cause at that point. Not that Sonia is a lost cause, but just in that moment with the state that Sonia had gotten herself to.
Sonia was very, very drunk.
She was really drunk, because she said she couldn't even hear them out, that they texted her.
Yeah.
And Carol said it, Carol said it just now. I mean, they really did try to find out, like, they left a car for her, they texted her. Like, it just shows you, what's the point where you've gone too far to help a friend? Like, when is it that you just need to step back and say, like, I did what I had to do, you don't want to respond, that's fine, and then just walk away. Now you're on your own. And I'm sure that she watched tonight's episode, and she's like, okay.
I know, I'll be interested to see the tweets.
Yeah, I know,
because she usually tweets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And her blog, actually.
Yeah, for sure. So, I know, it was a good episode, though. I don't know. I liked how overall we did get to see we got to see more of Cody, because now, you know, we're not, and I'm glad that Bravo did that. Yeah, because you don't want people to make these, you know, false notions of who she is, and she's a gold digger and this and that. She's like, I have my money. At one point, what did they say? He's using her for her money.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah.
And it was good to see the other housewives agreeing that they thought they were actually good together. That there was there's some sort of weird thing there that works for the two of them, which is nice to see. Then, I mean, obviously you can't always tell that through television, but when two people together notice that, like, love and that connection, and if that's what worked for them, then great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe we'll have Cody. Maybe she'll end up being one of the housewives. We never know. Never know anymore.
It could happen.
You never know anymore. Okay, predictions. Yeah.
And now, Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I'll leave it to you guys.
Steph, do you want to start?
All you.
Well, what they showed us, whether they're just media bites, kind of like the other week, to bring up some drama. Be interested to see what the Sonia was sleeping with Carol's ex. What was that? We only got a snippet. And Luann looks like finally, unfortunately, I kind of like her position this season, but it looks like she's being drawn into all the drama and looks like she's going to have more of a position next week.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. You said it. You
got
it.
They didn't give us much.
Just that little snippet. I'm excited to see the what happens between the boyfriend and Luann and Sonia and Carol. I think that'll be.
Sonia does love her men, doesn't she?
Let us know, all you verbal people that have been commenting so much. Let us know what you thought of Cody tonight and finding out that Cody actually has her own money. We want to know what you think. And and God bless all of you as well. where can we find you?
You guys can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Lindsay Wegner and my blog, lindsaywegner.blogspot.com.
I can be found on Instagram and Twitter at Cohen, C-O-U-H-E-N.
And I can be found on Twitter, guys, at Host McGrath, and also on YouTube at Stephanie McGrath Host.
Awesome. Miss Ashley Daniels for Twitter and Instagram. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.
See you guys next week. Bye.
See you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.